I began to start researching the question of travel and the halachic shilus in travel. This is very, very contemporary because many, many people travel. You know, flights have become so inexpensive, and people are traveling and crossing the international date line. There's all sorts of shilus. You know, you're coming from China. You're coming from Korea. I don't know where people are traveling all over, and there are issues of Shabbos, of davening, and so forth and so on. Now, in travel, davening is always an issue on almost every flight. I mean, if you're going for a flight, let's say if you're flying from Toronto to Ben Gurion Airport, they're going to be minyanim issues. I mean, there'll be issues about davening on the plane. There are other issues that come up in travel about brachos. For example, Birchas HaGomel, something that I want to address today. There are also questions about Tefillas HaDerech. If and when to say Tefillas HaDerech. I know personally, I always have the Shaila. I recite Tefillas HaDerech on the way to Ben Gurion in the taxi. And do I have to say another Tefillas HaDerech when I get on the plane, or one Tefillas HaDerech covers both? Is each one a separate Derech with a separate Mechayev?
But isn't the one to Ben Gurion the more dangerous?
Absolutely. You took the words out of my mouth, Joe. I was going to say that. In terms of davening Betzibur on a plane, I don't know what to tell you. There's just so many issues involved. I know that Tefillah Betzibur, Chazal say, is a grace azach. It's Tefillah Nishmas, and we try to do somersaults in the air to get a minion. But if you're traveling, 12 hours on a plane, 11 hours on a plane, besides the issues of Gezel Shena, and you'll inevitably find that somebody just next to you fell asleep that minute, and you decide you're going to wake him up for davening, he didn't instruct you to do so. Well, worse than that, he has no interest in davening, and you wake him up. That's a real issue of Gezel Shena. I'm not sure if Gezel Shena is worse or better than Gezel Mamish. You have other issues of the stewardesses. You're interrupting their service. They want to bring the food, the trays, and you set up a minion. You have other issues about being close to the bathroom, which are many complicated issues. But the bottom line is you're disturbing other people. And I'm not sure that, with all due respect to the chashivas, and I'm not questioning the chashivas of Tefillah B'Tzibur, if that mitzvah should override Bein Onam L'Chavero and V'Ahavtal Re'echa and being sensitive to the needs of others. I would rather give up on Tefillah B'Tzibur. And by the way, there are many situations in which the halacha, you can forfeit Tefillah B'Tzibur. You have cases that it affects your work. You have cases that you're a chola and it's very difficult to get a tzibur together. Many, many different cases where the poskim, and it goes back to Shulchan Aruch, are very makil in terms of tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur can be viewed in two ways. It's either a chovas tzibur, and it's not my chova, or it's a chovas yachid, but it's a chovas yachid when it's possible, when it's feasible, when I'm not giving up on other very important matters. If I'm giving up on other important matters, there's tefillah b'yechidus. Now again, there are other issues. Let's say you're not going to daven b'tzibur on a plane. So do you daven in a sitting position? Do you daven in a standing position? Do you wear tefillin? Or maybe you want to wait to put your tefillin when you get to your destination, if it's still possible, even though you'll daven shachris. Again, there are a host of issues. And if somebody could organize his travel in such a way that he won't miss Tefillah B'Tzibur, that's great. But in most situations, that's virtually impossible. So my inclination, for reasons of Bein Onam L'Chavero, and mostly Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, would be to avoid setting up a minyan. Every rule has its exceptions, but that would be my general understanding. I did not get a chance to research it in the poskim, but I'm starting today to embark upon this project of the laws for travelers. And Joe, you wanted to say something?
No, I'm just asking. Also, with regard to the tzibur, quite often, I can't hear the shliach tzibur. Like
That's a little bit less of a problem. The Gemara says that back in Alexandria in Egypt, in the time of Chazal, they would wave flags. I don't know if you have to hear, again, if all things are ideal, you have to hear the words out of the mouth of the Shliach Tzibur. But as long as you're davening together with the Tzibur, and usually what happens is you'll know because of the person who's next to you. But again, it's very hard to imagine that there won't be interferences, that there won't be bathroom issues, with the smells and this, that, and the other thing. But waking up people, that's why I think this whole enterprise of creating a minyan on the... Now again, the real motivation, I think, you'll tell me if you disagree with me, for pushing this minyan business on the plane is Kaddish. But you know what? In Kaddish we say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Mei Rabbah. All of Kaddish is about Kiddush Hashem. That's the theme of Kaddish. So I think it's a little paradoxical, to say the least, that you're using Kaddish, which is all that Kiddush Hashem, to create a Chil Hashem. Do you agree with me on that? Now, there may be possibilities that you could appoint someone else to say Kaddish for you back at home. I mean, then that also has to be given some consideration. But as far as traveling over the international dateline, those issues are very complicated. I have a Talmud who tells me that he got on a plane on Motzi Shabbos. I think it was in China. I'm not sure where. Maybe it was in in Korea. And he actually flew during Shabbos. According to the international dateline where he was, it was already Shabbos, like 2 hours after takeoff. And then he lands in Los Angeles on a different day, meaning not on Shabbos. And again, it could go both ways. You can have someone who goes into Shabbos and then goes out of Shabbos, and he lands on Friday before Shabbos. It's like there's so many different things that are peculiar about crossing the international dateline. And the poskim who allow you to do this, they'll tell you that you have to sit very quietly, you don't get up to go to the bathroom, because you go into the bathroom, you open the door and the light goes up, who knows what, and it's actually Shabbos where you are. And then there are situations where you could be flying over the international dateline and there's no yishuv below you. So, you're saying, well, I already crossed the international dateline, but where am I? I'm in outer space. So these are fascinating, fascinating questions. I would like to study with you today the famous sugya in the ninth parak of Brachos about Arba Tzrichim Lahodos. We're talking about a person who took a trip, he returned safely. Is he chayav in Gomel? And again, this is most relevant to planes today. People very rarely today, it's possible, will travel long distances by train. And by foot, it's almost unheard of to go long distances. And we'll see exactly what is a long distance. And what I want to study with you first and foremost, because the Rishonim put a tremendous emphasis on this, is the Seder. Now, when I say Seder, I'm referring to two different things. All four categories that are Chayav in HaGomel are listed in the 107th chapter Kuf Zayin of Tehillim. So there's a Seder in Tehillim. Then in the Sugyan Brachos, and if you happen to have the printout, you'll see it on Daf Nundalim and Beis, there's a different Seder. And Tosis is bothered by this, other Rishon of the Aruch. Why would the Gemara change the Seder of the Psukim? Generally speaking, You know, it says Bishabucha of Kumecha, so Memesai Korin Kriyat Shmashal Arvis. Bishabucha comes first. We follow the pattern of the Torah. Now, is it possible that you would have in front of you Kapitel Kuf Zayin of Tilim? Is that if not, then we'll do a Torah Shbal Peh. If you have the pages that I ask you to look at, it's the first page. So this kapitel, which starts Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, is all about what's called Geuli Hashem, Asher Ga'olam Yad Tsar, those who were in a dangerous situation and they were spared, they were redeemed from danger, and Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. They have to recite Hodoyat Hashem because they were saved. The first on the list is Tov Bamidbar B'Yeshimon Derech. That's Pasuk Dalet. And we're clearly talking about people who are Holchei Midbarios. And in the case of Holchei Midbarios, the Torah says Vayizaku El Hashem But Sarlehem, Mimitsukoseim Yatsilehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves them from the danger of the wilderness. And therefore, in Pasuk Ches, Yodu Lashem Chazdo v'niflosov Livnei Adam. So that's number one, Holchei Midbarios. Then if you fast forward to Pasuk Yud, it says, Yoshvei Choshev Tzalmoves. Who are those who are dwelling in darkness? Asire Ani Ubarzel. That's called Chavush Bebeis HaSurim. So we start with Holchei Midbarios, and going into the Midbar is dangerous for any number of reasons, but primarily because of the lack of water, and if you get lost, you know, you could be totally cut off from your source of water. There are other dangers in the Midbar. And it's not easy to find your way through a desert. That's obvious. So we're dealing with something that's very, very dangerous. Chavish Bebeis HaSurim, very often, a prisoner in a jail would be held under such harsh conditions he could hardly survive. And there was even a possibility that at one point they might take him out, Lebeis HaRiga. So the pasuk describes the chavish beveis asurim as vayizaku el Hashem batzar lehem mimitzukoseim yoshiem yotzieim michoshech v'tzalmoves. So beis asurim is always identified in the pasuk as choshech, as darkness, and yodu Hashem chazdo v'niflosu v'neyoto. So he's chayim in birchas hagomel. Then we fast forward to pasuk Yud Zayin, evilim Miderech Pisham, Umeavanuseim Yisanu. So we're talking about Inui. Inui is identified with Chole. So we're dealing with Misha Cholev and Isrape. Vayizakul Hashem Batsarlem, Imitsukoseim Yoshiem, Yishlach Dvaro Viyir Paim. Again, that's a further raya that we're talking about a Chole, Viyir Paim. And Yodu Hashem Chazdo Beniflosov Livneod. So that's Misha Chola. Now from the description of the Chola, number one, we know he's suffering from Inui. It's hard for him to digest food, and therefore Kol Ochel Tetayv Nafshon. You know, my mother, may she rest in peace, used to always say, A gesunter Frechman und a kranke Gitman. In other words, if somebody's healthy, ask him what he wants to eat. If somebody's sick, you know, just feed him. You know, they don't really have an appetite. Are we talking about someone who is so sick that the prognosis is has shown that he'll die? Not necessarily. But there always is a certain danger involved in this case of choli. Let's say he's a choli, hashochev lemita. And finally we get to the last category, and that's Novichav Gimel, Yorde Ayam Ba'onios, those who travel by ship. And you'll see in a moment that Tosis is going to note that the Seder Advarim going from Holchei Midbarius Chavish Beis Asurim to Mishachol and Isrape and finally Yorde Ayam is not the same as the Seder of Rabbi Yehuda Merav in Brachos, the first of the middle sized wide lines. Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, and instead of beginning with Holchei Midbarios, he begins with Yorde Ayam, then he gets to Holchei Midbarios. Bishal Yecholev and Isrape, and finally Yarde Ayom Bionios. So if you look quickly at Tosis, Dibra Maskal Arba, Tosis says, Upetehillim, Lo Chashiv Kazas Seder. So what's the key to the sequence in Tehillim? El Chashiv Holchim in Barius Rishon Dekra Nokat Seder Hamasukanim Bioser Tchila. So the level of danger involved in traveling through the desert is so great that it's mentioned first. I would say it this way. His Chiyuv Hodah supersedes all the others because of the nature of the danger of going through the Midbar. Hashem was Goel him by Yitzakul Hashem, and God saves him. And that's a tremendous salvation. Again, keep in mind that the pasuk starts with Tohu Bamidbar B'Yishimon Derech. I don't know what would be. Is it just simply an absolute halacha, cut and dry? If you go to the Midbar, you have to make this bracha of Birchas HaGomel? Or is it only Tohu Bamidbar? This is going to be a relevant question when we talk about flights. You know, it's one thing if Chas V'Shalom there's an emergency situation on a flight, they make an emergency landing. But in a normal situation on a flight, you know, we're not talking about this danger. Is it only because he's in a danger? You know, that's what I want to be sensitive to as we go through these psukim. So we start with what's considered most dangerous, and that's Midbarios. A little bit less dangerous is Chavish Beveis Asur, but that's also high-powered danger. Chole, okay, a chole is a chole, but Nisrape. And Yorde Ayam is basically travel over the sea. We heard of many occasions, especially back in the Gemara's time, of shipwrecked seas, and you know, all of a sudden the weather changes, and you get into a storm, and the captain doesn't know very good, but that's not the normal trip by sea. If you're interested at all, as I am, in Dutch art, I mean, some of the most famous Dutch paintings have to do with a Yorde Ayam, because what the masters used to do is they would tie themselves down to the mast of the ship, and they would paint from that position the waves, the dangerous waves. There's also a very famous painting by Homer, Winsor Homer, an American painter, and he shows one person saving another person out at sea. It's a very dramatic painting. So this is a subject of art. But in terms of sakana, it's low on the totem pole. What's the say there that Rabbi Yehuda Merav picks up in the Gemara? Says Tosus, Ubi Gemara Nakat, Hamitsuyanim, Hamitsuyim Tchila. In other words, what's more Shchia? So the Gemara starts with Yorde Ayam because that was the mode, the primary mode of travel back in the time of the Gemara. And of course in long travel they had to go through Midbarios. And that was normal, that was almost every Muntik and Darnishtik. So that's called Mitsuyim Tchila. Yorde Ayam first, Holchim Midbarios second. And then we get to Chola. Nemech Chola is common, but it's not Maisim B'chol Yom. And the least common is Chavish Beveis Hasurim. So notice, Chavish Beveis Hasurim in Tanah, in Tehillim, is number two on the list. It's very close to Holchim in Barrios in terms of the element of danger. But when you get to the Gemara, you're talking about something that is very rare. I mean, again, you know, Jews lived under Gentile countries in exile, and it was common for a Jew to be tried in a non-Jewish court and thrown into jail. But overall, if we look at Jewish history, it's not something that you could say is so common. However, take a look on page 2, if you can, to the Sefer Ha'aruch al Hashas. And now we're going back to the time of the Gaonim. Shalu lefnei Rav Hai Gaon Zal. Hadi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Dalit Tzrichin Lahodos. My time alone, Rinan Rabbanon, Kisidura Dekroi. Why didn't the Gemara follow the pattern of the sequence in the Pesukim? Veheshiv Hachi Islif Rushe. Dekroi Sdirin. They say there in the Psukim, Lefum Deshchiach Tvei. Not the way Tosus says that the Seder HaPosuk is Mesukanim B'Yosef, but rather Shchichim B'Yosef. It's just Punk Faker. And he's going to argue that Holche Midborios and Holche Drachim are Mitsuyim Harvei. Now, this is a critical turning point. Until now, we were very dedicated to the text of the Gemara. We're talking about Holche Midbarios. Nowhere on the list do we have Holche Drachim. So Rav Haigoin has Holche Drachim. He also has Holche Midbarios. Here's where Holche Drachim and Holchim and Barrios become one general category, first on the list in Tehillim, because Shchichei Tveh. And to prove it, he says that Holchei Drachim includes Afilu Holchim Eir Le'ir. I remember I came for Shabbos to Tzfat from Yerushalayim. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. And if you daven in what they call Ari Sfarad, there are two shuls of the Ari. So you'll see that every guy, like one after the other, is benching Gomel. What, did they all fly in from Thornhill? Like, what happened over here? So the answer is, because they follow this Shita, which we'll soon see is the Rambam Shita, that even Holchei Drachim are Chayav in Gomel. And what's Holchei Drachim? A derech that takes you from one city to the other. So you're going from Yerushalayim to Tzfat, you have to bench Gomel. What is next in the line of Shchiach? It's Achrei Misha Yechovish Beveis HaSurim. Deme'ite Minhon. It's much less common than Holchim Me'ir Le'ir. Thank God for that. But nevertheless, Harbe Mitsuyim. And he speaks about tax evasion and what was ever common back in, you know, in Spain at that time. And therefore, those two cases of Holchei Midbarios, Holchei Drachim, and Chovish Beis HaSurim are the most common on the list. Then we go down after those two to Misha Hayachole Vinisrape, Miatin de Michbashin, and this is even smaller of a number. It's less. It's more rare than Michbashin L'Shiltonim, those who are thrown into jail. And finally, what he considers the least shchiach of them all is Yordei Hayam. Demi'atin min kulon, Dishmaitos, period. Now, what about our sugya, Dishmaita, Stirin lefum hakrovim l'sakana? Just the opposite of what Tosus says. The more dangerous cases come first on the list in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So you start with Yordei Hayam. Tosus thought that Yordei Hayam is not so dangerous. It's last on the list, and therefore in Tehillim it is number four. According to the Aruch, Yordei Hayam is the most dangerous of them all. The Bechad Riga, if the weather changes, a storm breaks through, Ovdan, immediately they're lost. The ship is wrecked and everybody is lost. Rachman al-Utslan. Now, what was the name of that ship? What was it called? What?
Titanic.
It starts the Titanic, I think it's called, though.
Yeah.
You remember the Titanic? And it hit a glacier and so forth and so on. Almost everyone died immediately. I mean, some people survived. So that's the most dangerous of them all. Yardaya. Then he has Basrayu, next in line is Holchimid Barrios, Toin, that lost in the Midbar, Velomishkhe Macho, Velomashke, they're going to die of dehydration, Krovin Lemisa, they're on the way to death. If they get lost in the wilderness, that's very, very dangerous. Next on line is Hayacholav and Isrape. And here, again, this is another chiddush in the Aruch. We say that chole is some sort of significant illness. And from the perspective of being shchiach, it's quite rare, and it's pretty much low on the list of shchichim in Tehillim. But he says, in terms of danger, it's really low on the list because it includes afilu choshesh berosho. He's got a headache. Afilu choshesh begrono. He's got a throat ache. So the next time, Rachmanel, it's not that you suffer from angina, what's it called in English?
Angina.
Yeah, but it has
angina, it's the same word.
Oh, no, so that's not what I'm thinking of. What happens when you go for a throat culture and it comes back positive? What's that called?
Strep.
That's what I was thinking of. So next time, Chas Shalom, if you have strep, so remember to say that. The Sefer Aruch Shita is that after you get better, you have to bench Gomel. And if you have a headache, you got to bench Gomel. And then finally, the last on the list is Chavish Bebeis HaSurim Demerchak Min HaSakonet Tvei Mikula. And again, that's exact opposite of Tosis. Tosis had Chavish Bebeis HaSurim as high up on the danger list. And he says, Kol Chad Min Hani, because of the Sakana, each one is Adif Nisa Levasre. He has a greater salvation, a greater miracle than the one coming after him. So again, two fantastic Chidushim that we were not aware of in the Sefer Aruch. Number one, that from the perspective of Shchichim, Holchei Midbarios is Shchiach. Why? Because that category includes Holchei Drachma Filu Meir Leir. And the second Chiddush is that Chole is not considered such a danger. And the reason for that is because we're talking even about Choshesh Barosho, Choshesh Begrono. Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Arbat Shrichim Lahodos, Perk Yud Milchus Brachos, Chole Venisrape. Interesting, the Rambam has his own say there. It's neither the Seder of the Psukim, nor is it the Seder of the Gemara. Then he has Chovish V'yotzim Beis HaSurin, Yorde Ayom Kishayalu. So this word Kishayalu also occupies the Poskim, because they want to know what happens if you take a stop in a long voyage, you know, you're on a cruise, and they give you, you know, a half a day to walk around the island until they continue and disembark. Or, for example, you may spend Shabbos in a certain area and then continue on. He says, Kishayalu. So some want to be medayik that the Rama means when he finally completes the trip. And finally, the fourth category is not Holchei Midbarios, but Holchei Drachim. And Holchei Drachim, based on the Aruch and Rav Haigoin, automatically includes Holchei Midbarios. There's no need for the Rambam to mention Holchei Midbarios because he has Holchei Drachim. Yesh Bechal Masayim Mana. And the Rambam adds Kshiagil Yishuv. So it means that they go from one city to the other, and in the middle they're not in the Yishuv, and they require benching Gomel. Hence we go back to our case of Yerushalayim to Tzfat, and everybody in Tzfat is benching Gomel. Now, if you look at Rabbeinu Manoach, who's a late Rishon, but one of the commentaries on the Rambam, he quotes the Ravid, and the Ravid says, "The kuli hani lo machayv levarach elam kein yesh bem nes kigon shehigiu lemakom sakana v'nitzol v'heimenu." So we were medayik in the pasuk. It says, "Tov b'midbar yishimon." And that is reflected in the sheet of the Ravid, that you were lost in the Midbar, you were already in a Makom Sakana, V'igiu ad sharei moves. Or, for example, in the case of Yardei Hayom, Yamod Ruach Si'ara, there's a great storm, and it threatens to take down the ship. And in the case of a chola, your life was in danger. And so too, when you traveled, you were in a makom sakon. So according to the Ravid, what's the common link between all these cases? It's got to be makom sakon. It's got to be somebody who yesh bahem nes. So when I ask you, would travel by plane require birchas hagoel according to the Ravid, I think the answer is a flat no. The Rambam, on the other hand, is talking about holchei drachim. Holchei drachim has nothing to do with sakana. I mean, there is an element of sakana perhaps, but you cannot say that he had a nes. I mean, holchei drachim is everybody who goes from one city to the other. And Rabbi Menoach is apparently unaware of Rav Haigoin, and therefore he writes, Harav Shino Loshana Gemara, as if the Rambam took it upon himself to change the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Holchim in Barrios. And if you take the Ravid's interpretation, and that seems to be indicated by the Pasuk itself in Tillim, we're talking about a dangerous situation. And the Rambam writes, Holchei Drachim. Mashma, Shebechol Drachim Tzarch Levarech, Vetemahu. So Rabbeinu Menoach, who's apparently very much aligned with the Ravid, is holding that Birchas HaGomel is a requirement because you were in danger and you were saved. The Ravid goes as far as to call it Yesh Bahem Nes. And the Rambam just breaks it up, and he's there are no conditions in the Rambam about Sakana. And in fact, the Rambam is talking about Holchei Drachim. Now, certainly the Aruch is not talking like the Ravid about a Makom Sakana, because in the case of Misha Cholav Isrape, he's talking about Choshesh Beroshav Afilu Begrono. That's not a Makom Sakana. In fact, he considers it to be low on the list because it's very far away from a danger zone. The Rabbeinu Menoach takes a stab at trying to bring the Rama back into the fold, so to speak. And the Rambam doesn't mean what you think he means when he says Holchei Drachim, but rather he's talking about a situation based on the Yerushalmi of Kol HaDrachim B'cheska Sakonahem. That he's talking about a derech that has an element of Sakona. You know, there are mortars, there are wild beasts that can attack you while you're on the derech. And then, when he gets to Chavish B'Beis HaSurim, and he speaks about Holchei Hayam as well, he wants to broaden it, even if there was no storm out at sea, nobody threatened to take his life when he was in jail, is Mestavra, that's his final conclusion on the last line, Shem Mevarchem Afal Pishalo, Higiu L'Sakana Gedola. So we have now two extremes. On the one extreme, we have the Ravid who cuts down Birchas HaGomel to a very narrow case of someone whose life was in danger. And we have, perhaps on the other extreme, the simple pshat in the Rambam, and certainly Rav Haigoin would buy into this, in the case of Cholav and Isrape, the Rambam has Holchei Drachim from one city to the other. Again, if you don't accept the what I call the dochak of Rabbeinu Menoach at the end of his pesach, but rather Rambam simply should be talking about anyone who goes from city to city, and there's no yishuv in the middle, he has to bench Gomel. Then you're talking about a situation where there's no danger at all, and somewhere in the middle between these two extreme poles, you have the Rabbeinu Menoach who says, "Afal pishlo gila sakana gedola," but there must be an element in sakana. So if you would line up the sheet, there's two out of the three sheetos here. That would be the Ravid and Rabbeinu Menoach would insist that you're in a makom sakana. Otherwise, you're not chayv in birchas hagomel. On the other end, you have the Rambam, and you also can add Rav Haigoin, because Rav Haigoin says he's a cholav in Israpi, he has a choshesh begrono, never he's suffering from stress. Joe, did you want to say something?
I'm going to say something. You can learn the Rambam is talking about sakana. like Alkei Drachim doesn't necessarily mean that you're going, you know, from your shalom to Tzfat. Alkei Drachim means if you're going in a place that's dangerous, then you know, and you. So like because Kishagili Yishuv means when you get to civilization. So it's much like you were going somewhere where you were.
You were totally vulnerable. You're totally exposed to many different elements, and that, Bobby, is exactly what Rabbi Menachem wants to push into the Rambam. That when the Rambam says Holchei Drachim, he's talking about Drachim Bechezka Sakona. That's Yerushalmi.
In other words, what's the rationale for saying Birchas Gomel when there's no danger at all? Like what is the
very very difficult, very difficult position to, you know, to maintain, other than to say Lo Plug in a certain sense. You know, we have these categories. And we're not going to enter into a chakira in every single category and every time throughout history and every place. You know, yellow nidla, that is it a sakon, is it not a sakon? But you're right, it's very difficult to justify a chiyuv bracha. And the Gemara establishes that this bracha has to be b'farhesya, in front of 10 people, simply because you went from one city to the other. And that's why I pointed out at the beginning, I don't know if you were here, Bobby, that, you know, people travel by plane every mutig and darnishtig. I mean, the Rav Zichron Levracha used to say Gomel when he got to New York from Boston. In my time already, I was in the later generation, he didn't bench Gomel. To him it was Meisim, you know, every week he traveled back and forth from Boston, sometimes twice a week if they needed him.
So that brings me to the next question, which is, doesn't this, like even the way the Rishonim are presenting it, shouldn't it be adjusted for time, like for the times that you're in?
Correct. If it's an element of sakana, it's not only reflective of the time you're in, it's also reflective of your personality, meaning your individual situation. So this is going to be a machlokes between the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim, which we're going to see here in the tour in Reish Yutes. He says, Noagim v'Ashkenaz v'Tzarfas, She'ein mevarchim kishaholchim e'ir le'ir, Shalochivu ele baholche midbarios. So the Ashkenazim and the Tzarfatim, they are very close to the text of Al-Gemar as we have it. And we're talking about Midbarios. Midbarios, he says, is a place that Shchichibam Chayos Ros Velistim. And now we have to, again, I'm going to skip the next question that really comes up here in the tour. And let's jump to the Sfaradim. The Sfaradim you'll see at the bottom of the page. And he says, Aval HaRambam VeHaRamban Zal Kos. Alright, so take out the Rambam, because again, we don't know what the Rambam has in mind here. But the Ramban writes, De B'chol Derech U'B'chol Choli Tzrichim Lahodos. And he quotes the Aruch, so we were on the right track here, that Afilu Chosh Beinav Al Rosho Tzarech Levarech V'chein Noagim B'Sfarad. You know, the Tur and his father Rosh, they had access to both Ashkenazim and Sfaradim at different points in their life. So when the Torah says V'chein Noagim B'Sfarad, he actually saw that. And I saw it when I went to Tzfat. Again, I don't daven with the Sfaradim that often, but in the case of Tzfat, you know, if you want to daven in the Ari Shul, you might end up with the Sfaradim. You know, you have to climb up for Kriya if you get an Aliyah, you know, like three stories up to the top of the citadel. And they bench Gomel with a different girsa in the Gemara. You know, we're not talking about Midbarios here, we're talking about Holchei Drachim. Now it's interesting, he invokes the Yerushalmi to defend that position, the Ramban's position, called Drachim Bechezka Sakonahem. Now what kind of Sakonah are you dealing with? A Sakonah that's parallel to a person who has a headache or a throat ache? You know, he's drinking a Negro and making a bar priya eight. What kind of sakon are you dealing with? You're dealing with Holchei Drachim. And that's Rav Haigon. And the Ramban accepted that shita. So we look at Holchei Drachim and we're going to say Becheska Sakona. There's no real Sakona. Maybe Becheska Sakona, you know, there's a famous chiddush in last week's parsha in the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha, he says that for a woman to get pregnant and give birth, that's a sakon. What does it mean? I think statistically, okay, maybe things were different in his time, but statistically it's probably, I don't know if it's 1 in 10,000, I don't know what the exact number is, but that's b'cheska sakana. It means the, if things go wrong, you know, it could get very dangerous. You know, people have died from infections in their throat if they didn't get antibiotics on time. And not only that, today, of course, is a big chashash. People who are very prone to, let's say, bronchitis or pneumonia, that during the course of a stretch of time, their bodies become immune to antibiotics. And imagine 100 and maybe 110 years ago, even less, they didn't have antibiotics. People could die of infections left, right, and center. My father knew, I don't know if you ever heard of Reb Shlomo Palachik. Reb Shlomo Palachik was a genius of geniuses. He was a Rebbe in Reb Yitzchak Chanan Yeshiva. He died at the age of 42 as a result of an infection in his tooth that affected his gums, and they didn't have antibiotics. And the infection went through his whole body and he died. So you can always say b'cheska sakana. There's always a potential of sakana. But I'm on board with you guys. I mean, I think that the Sephardic approach here, based on the Rambam or the Girsa of Rav Haigo and of Holchei Drachim, is a real chiddush here. It's very, very difficult to justify. But Rav Haigon is Rav Haigon. You know, that's a good... And he says, he's talking about, a person who has a headache. Well, now, I skipped...
One could argue today, driving on the Israeli roads...
Yeah, that's what we spoke about before.
Back to real Sakana. Right.
So, I'm glad you asked this question, Bobby, because that leads me to the middle part of this tour, which I skipped, in which he addresses another issue, which is very fascinating. And that is Tfilas HaDerech. Does Tfilas HaDerech have the same halachic status as Birchas HaGomel? Meaning, whenever you're chayv in a Birchas HaGomel, then before you get into that situation, you have to recite Tfilas HaDerech. So he says the following. According to the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the assumption that Birchas HaGomel requires danger, and they have an aim of Archim Shaholchim ear to ear. He wants to know, what about Tfilas HaDerech? And if we assume an equation between Tfilas HaDerech and Birchas HaGomel, then if I'm traveling for hours on the road to get to my destination, I'm on my way to Tzfat, it's a 3.5 hour drive, then I'm not chayv in Tfilas HaDerech, because I'm not chayv in HaGomel when I get to Tzfat, because I'm an Ashkenazi. Nay, says the Torah, that's not so. They're two different halachos. He says, Lo Amru, when they said that Kol Hadrachim B'Cheska Sakana, that's Yushalmi, they weren't talking about Birchas HaGomel, because you went from one city to the other. Elo Le'inyan Tfilas HaDerech, Shebechol Hadrachim, Tzarech Adam Levakesh Al Atzmo. In other words, there are two different tfilos. There's one which is Birchas HaGomel, which means that you are in a state of sakana and God spared you from the sakana. If we go back to the pasuk, it says Yomru Geule Hashem Asher Geolam Yad Tzar. Tzar means Maves. And then there's Tfilas HaDerech. And what's Mechayev Tfilas HaDerech is the Derech. So whatever you define as a Derech requires Tfilas HaDerech. So for sure, the cab that's taking me to Ben Gurion Airport, for sure that's a Tfilas HaDerech. Would that cover the plane? I'm not sure. But you know what? Maybe the plane is not a derech. We have to see what derech means. Is derech means on the ground or even in the air? And what about subterranean? What happens if you go through a tunnel? Like, for example, in England, you can take a tunnel to France. To France. And so the question is, are you chayv in Tfilas HaDerech? Well, maybe that's a derech. But on the other hand, the derech is usually on dry land. Now you're going under the water. Or you're up in the air. So I don't know if that's called derech. And it's unbelievable if we have time to go through the poskim here about how many controversies there are about whether you recite Tfilas HaDerech in the air, and more important, whether you recite Birchas HaGomel when you land after you flew in the air. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, which you'll see on page 5, Im Hanosim Be'eroplan Tzrichim Levarech Birchas HaGomel, so he quotes Poskim and want to say it depends whether you flew over water or over a desert. Because again, what the Poskim are contending with is that flying through the air is not called a derech. So if it's not called a derech, then it has to fit into one of the other categories here. Well, what category does it fit in? It's not Yordei Hayam, it's not Chol Avin Nisrapeh, it's not Chovish Beveis Asurim, and it's not Holchim in Barrios. Ah, yes, it's Holchim in Barrios. Why? Because you're flying over the Sahara Desert. Yes, it's Yordei Hayam, because you're flying over the Atlantic, you're over the Mediterranean Sea. And Rav Moshe rejects this approach, you know, with a force, with a fierce, a fear. You know, he goes ballistic over this approach, and he thinks that you don't have to ask yourself, you know, and ask the captain, oh, tell me, are we flying over this sea, over this desert? No, it all depends upon whether we define flight, long flights, as something dangerous. And the Ashkenazim hold that you only recite Birchas HaGomel if you were in danger. And the question is, now back in the time that Rav Moshe made his tshuva, maybe it was more common that Nebuch people would die as a result of plane crashes. I mean, one of my best friends, he lost his father in a plane crash like 45 years ago. But maybe today, and Bobby, you mentioned it before, it's no longer a sakana. I mean, what are the percentages of planes that, you know, there's a greater percentage never of getting shot down by some enemy, you know, in the air. But Rav Moshe says in his time, again, he maybe would change his psak today, I don't know, that you have to bench Gomel when you come down from the flight you land, because he says that's called sakana. However, if you're driving cross country, you know, let's say you drove, I don't know, from Toronto to where they have that famous mall, what's it called? Edmonton, right? So you drove to Edmonton, I don't know, how many hours in the car would you be for that? Probably about 25 hours, I don't know, you know, across from the east to the west. How many hours?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's a long trip, right? So I don't think Rav Moshe would require Birchas HaGomel in such a case, because there's no sakana. Whereas flying in a plane is an element of sakana. But this machlokas that we're seeing here in the Torah, getting back to Birchas HaGomel, let's leave Tfilas HaDerech for a moment, because the Torah rejects the Hava HaTalia. It doesn't mean that just because you're chayv in HaGomel, you're chayv in Tfilas HaDerech, or reverse, just because you're potter from HaGomel, therefore you don't recite Tfilas HaDerech. Tfilas HaDerech has this broad definition which is called Kol HaDrachim Bechezka Sakana. But I'm not going to say, therefore, that if I go from Yerushalayim to Tzfat, that's called a Mokom Sakana. Bechele Inyan Chole Kosim HaRab Rabbeinu Yosef Tedavka Chole Shenofa Lemita Aval Chosh Berosho O B'meyav, I don't know, he doesn't mention B'oznav or B'grono, Eino Tzorach Levorech. V'chein Kosav Arayvid, the Dafka B'maka Shal Cholol, Sheish Pasakon. You see here, we're beginning to understand that middle Shita, the compromise Shita, as I call it, of Rabbeinu Menach. If you remember, Rabbeinu Menach says, Afal Gavdolo Higia L'Sakona Gedola. So the Ravid says that your life is in danger, you need a miracle to save you. And that's going to be called a Makash al Cholol, for which we're Mechal Shabbos. That's what requires Birchas HaGomel. Rabbeinu Menach agrees against Rav Haigon that we need Sakana, but we don't need Azaz Sakana Gedola, that his life is in peril and he needs a miracle to salve himself. So even if it's not a Makash al Cholol, but it would be a cholish yesh bo sakana, a cholish ein bo sakana, which means nafal lemishkav, which in Hilchos Shabbos is a tremendous matir for many different shvusim and malachus drabanan because he's a cholash ebo sakana, is that enough of a sakana to generate birchas hagomel? And then we have the sheet of the Ramban based on Rav Haigoin that afilu chosh bienov oberosho tzarech levarech. So I'll tell you the truth. If you would ask me, I mean, we have to go through the Mishnah Berurah, which is page number 3, the next page. But if you ask me what qualifies sakana according to the Ashkenazic psak, I would go with Rabbeinu Menoach. I wouldn't go as far as the Raivid that we're talking about an absolute danger, but it would have to be serious enough that you're considered like a chole, albeit she'ein bo sakana, but there is an element of sakana. If the infection gets out of hand, I don't know if you heard of something called cellulitis. Have you ever heard of that?
Sure.
Yeah.
If somebody is prone to cellulitis is a kind of disease that it keeps growing on you. You know what I'm saying? You can never get rid of it. And I have a very close family member who suffers from cellulitis, and you get a little scratch on your leg and it's really bad, and it keeps coming back, and it's very difficult. The body develops antibodies to those cortisones and all the different antibiotics that you take, and cellulitis can do you under. So there are situations of danger, and if we take the sheet here from Rabbi Yosef in the tour that he calls it Cholish Nafal Lemishkov, as opposed to Chash Berosho. So that's what I call the middle of the road Shita. Now how that you know applies or doesn't apply to the case of a flight. I mean, I'll be honest with you on both sides. If you would ask me today, should I bench Gomel when I land, you know, in Pearson Airport from Ben Gurion, I would tell you no. But Lamaisa, I do bench Gomel. Why? Because that's the way I was trained, and I can't change my minhag. But if you'd ask me al pi halacha, I would tell you, name, you don't have to bench Gomel. So in a sense, I'm going to rely on Rabbeinu Menoach or Rabbeinu Yosef in the middle Shita, or even more so, I would perhaps rely on the Sfaradim, and I would say that if I go from Yerushalayim to Sfad and my Sfaradi, I'm going to make bench Gomel, and how much more so if I travel from Ben Gurion to Pearson Airport. For sure I'm going to bench Gomel. And that's just to justify my gears to the Yankisa. But in all honesty, let's say a bar mitzvah boy travels to the, you know, to go to the Kotel for his bar mitzvah, to put on tefillin for the first time, and he comes from Canada to Yerushalayim, and he doesn't have a definite minhag. He's not stuck in, you know, in the conservative, he's very conservative to repeat what he always did since his young. I would probably tell him that as an Ashkenazi, he should not bench Gomel. Rav Moshe does require a Gomel, but again, you know, Rav Moshe is talking to a different. So let's take a look. We don't have too much time, and I know, gentlemen, you have to go, but quickly take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, which is on page 3. And the Mechaber says, Arba tzrichim lahodos, and holche midbarios mishiagil yishuv. And we're not sure exactly what he means by holchei midbarios. The Rambam has a different girsa. The Rambam has holchei drachim. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah points out the word misha'olu. You remember we shtelled on the word misha'olu, and he says legamre. That's what the Mishnah Berurah adds. V'ein b'chlal zeh masha'omdim im hasfino k'shebolin amal v'anashim sheba yardim liyavashal yomo yomayim. Interesting. The Mishnah Berurah lived almost a century ago, right? Because what are we up to? We're up to 2020. I think he died in 30. It's 90 years ago. And already he's anticipating the cruises. And he says that in the cruises, what they do is they stop for a day or two, and then they go back on board. He says, Bazein Mevarchim. It's got to be at the very end of your travel. And he says, because you're still in a Makom Sakana until you finally do, you know, disembark for the last time at your destination. And he says, "Uvederech halichasam ovrim derech ezair." So it could be that as they travel through the desert, they find themselves in a city in the middle. No, you don't bench gomel until you finally get to your destination, and that's called kisha olu mimenu legamre. Then he wants to ask the following question: what's the deal with the katan? In other words, we have a mitzvah chinuch, and he says, "Katan ainu mechuyev lahodos afilu mitzad mitzvah chinuch." For some reason, don't ask me why, he doesn't apply chinuch to benching gomel. Perhaps it has to do with the tzibur, and we don't necessarily educate our children to a mitzvah shebe tzibur. I don't know. Then he writes that the minhag sheba olam, and I know this has changed, and I don't think it has to do with some sort of new movement, if you know what I'm talking about, new motions or anything like that. No, today women will bench gomel, and that's it. And I'm not going to tolerate any deviation on that. Women have to bench gomel. What we do in our shul is after davening during the kiddush, the women will come over towards the mechitza, and she'll bench gomel on the other side of the mechitza. But we're able to hear her bracha, and we'll all recite Amen. We do with the Yoledes all the time, left, right, and center. So the Mishnah Berurah here is outdated, if you pardon the expression.
The husband doesn't do it for her?
I don't think so. I don't think that should be done. I think it's a mitzvah sheba gufo. She needs a tzibur, and she could get access to a tzibur. It's not an issue of tzniyus, and I don't think that any of the issues about women today, women doing this, and they're dancing this, and they're getting this, and I don't want to even go into all the details because it gets me sick. But this, I think, we have to insist upon, and the women should be benching gomel. Now, the big question is the Ashkenazim versus the Sfarim. So if you look at the bottom of your page, and this is Reish Yutesiv Zion, the Ashkenazim Tzarfas Ein Mevarkim She'aholchem E'ir Le'ir She'alokhivu El'aholchem Midbarios Nishchichim Emchayos Ros Melistim U'besfarad Nogim Levarech Mipnei She'kol Adrochem Mecheskas Sakona U'miu B'pochos Miparsa Ein Levarech. Okay, this is a discussion unto itself. What is the minimum of holchei drachim, a distance between one city and the other, to be mechayev birchas hagomel according to the Sfaradim, and that's called a parsa. And the mechaber goes out of his way to say, "Hani arba lav dafka." Don't think it's four. Sometimes the Gemara says, "Hai minyana lafuke mai." No, there's no minyana lafuke mai here. Lemute mai. It's all lav dafka dua din mishanaselo nes. A person walked under a kosel that was about to collapse. He got to the other side and it collapsed. I know a story of somebody who had this experience during the war, during World War II. And they crossed the bridge, and the bridge was blown up by a bomb. And they survived to tell the story. Such a person certainly needs Birchas HaGomel. The trouble is that most Holocaust survivors probably would have had to bench gomel 50 times during the course of the Nazi Holocaust. I mean, over and over again. I mean, there's so many nisim v'niflos for those who survived. Unfortunately, 6 million didn't survive. But that you'll have to ask the man with the big G on the sweatshirt to explain why that happened.
What's the makar for benching goimo, like when you just saved from a specific, you have something that happens, like you say, a wall falls on you. Why? I mean, that's a sakana, but it doesn't fit really into the category.
Yeah, because again, the opening line in the parsha, going back to Kuf Zion, is Geuli Hashem Asher Geolam Miyad Sar. You see, it's very lumdish over here. When David HaMelech in this capital mentions four categories, are these categories exclusive? And not only that, are these categories absolute? One shita, which would be the shita of the Ramban, and that's the shita of Haigon before him, is there's a din of a chola, and that's an absolute category. However, all the poskim agree that these are not exclusive categories because the opening line is Asher Ga'olam Yad Tsar. So anyone whose life is in danger has to bench gomel. However, in four cases, the Pasuk wants to tell me, and this is the Ramban's approach, you absolutely are required to bench gomel. These four cases are considered in a halachic, legal, theoretical, conceptual universe to be sakana. Either not a sakana, it's irrelevant.
No, it should be problem halacha. Like the Rambam should say it. He should say,
Again, yeah. I just want to finish up, Bobby. If you have 5 minutes, I want to talk to you about the Rambam. I just want to finish up one point over here and let you go because I know it's getting late. So if you can hold your question just for 5 minutes, and if you could linger on a little bit afterwards, he says the following. Take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, number Chaf Beis, and this is the sheet of the Ashkenazim. And he says, the Sfirilahu, the Bracha Zu, Shava Le'inyin Birchas Tfilas HaDerech. And he says the following, that since we have a principle called, just 1 second, I'm sorry, did I say the Ashkenazim? The Chaf Beis is the Sfaradim. So the Sfaradim say that as long as you're a Holchei Drachim, you have to bench Gomel. The Sfirilahu, what's the secret here of the Sfaradim? The Bracha Zu Shavah Le'inyan Birchas HaDerech. Now, with regard to Birchas HaDerech, we said before, Kuliyamalo Pligi, that he needs Tfilas HaDerech, because Kol HaDrachim, as the Shami says, Bechezkas Sakana. If we extrapolate from Tfilas HaDerech to Birchas HaGomel, if we assume that analogy, hence we derive the conclusion, and this is Rav Hai going to the Ramban, that anything similar to Derech, even though there's no Sakana, requires HaGomel. That's the sheet of the Sfaradim. So this is a very important Mishnah Berurah, because he's shedding a light on this entire Shita. And he doesn't tell you why, but for some reason, this Shita postulated that there's an absolute analogy between Tfilas HaDerech and Kol HaDrachim, Birchas HaKana and Birchas HaGomel. However, if you take a look in the case of Pachas Miparsa, why don't you call him a Holchei Drachim? He says because it's a Makom Karov. If it's a Makom Karov, then even as far as Tfilas HaDerech is concerned, we would not apply the principle of Kol HaDrachim Becheska Sakana, and you don't have Tfilas HaDerech, hence for sure you don't have Birchas HaGomel. That's even according to the Sfaradim and the Ramban. Now, what about going beyond these four categories? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Yesh Omrim She'em Mevarchim HaGomel Ela Alhani Arba Dafka. Okay, this is Bobby Shita. I don't know why the Mechaber doesn't mention your name, because Kolomidov Hashem Omro. And if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Alahani Arba, what's unique and exclusive about these four categories? Mishum Shemitsuyin Biyoser. And this comes back to what we saw in Tosfos and a different formulation in Rav Haigoin, that the reason why the Pasuk mentions these four cases, and in a very specific order, is because it's Mitzuyim Harbe. So we start with according to Tosfos, Yorde Ayam, because that was the normal mode of transportation back in the day. So that was Matsui. Is therefore Tiknu Aleim Birchas HaGomel. It's a very interesting language here. Tiknu Aleim. We're deriving this from a Pasuk in Tanakh. But anything that's derived from a Pasuk Tanaf is considered Divrei Kabbalah and has the status of some sort of a Takana. Again, that requires a lot of work. And Tiktu Aleim Birchas HaGomel, Masha'en Kein Hanoch, She'enom Shchichim Klal. So despite the fact that it's a Sakana, Ein Levarech Aleim HaGomel. So we begin to understand the Shitas HaSfardim here, that there are four categories that are Mitsuya Vyoser. Certainly headaches are pretty Matsui. And that's why the Ramban insists, based on Rav Haigoin, that you have to bench Gomel. And therefore, you're not going to talk about other situations where, you know, the building collapsed and you miraculously got saved, or the animal was going wild and killing and you were saved. You know, there was a lion that pounced upon everybody and you got saved, showed Delilah, and you don't bench Gomel. Why? Because those aren't Mitsuyim Harbe. So Rabosai, as we end the shiur, I just want to leave you with one question. I understand that we saw in the Rishonim, and now we're seeing in the Mishnah Berurah, to justify the second opinion of the Yesh Omrim, that there's a critical element here for Birchas HaGomel called Matsui. Why is that so? Logically, I would say that we should go with the Ravid's approach. There was a Ness, you know, it collapsed just a second after you left the premises. What a miracle. Why is it totally in Matsui? That's the question I want to leave with you. So I both say thank you very much. And if anybody has any questions, I'm here. I just wanted to, you know, finish whatever we could. And the balance of this is really, you know, the different, thank you, the different shittas in the poskim about traveling by plane and also going into tunnels and all sorts of cases where you might be considered Yart Ayyam because of modern technology. And I always like to end the shiur with a joke. So you remember the Concorde planes?
Yep.
So they took it out of service long ago. I think it was in service for 6 months. I don't remember. So they say that somebody died in London, and they called up the rabbi in New York, and they told him that he better take a Concorde plane. They need him to officiate at this levaya in London. So you're traveling, normally I think from New York to London is about 7-8 hours, but he did it by Concorde plane in like 2.5 hours. So the joke was that he got there before the Patira. Okay. All right. So as far as going into tunnels, here on page 4, he quotes Rav Avigdor Nevensal, who's the Ashkenazic Rav in the Old City, and he says, Yesh levarech birchas agomel yachar nesia b'minahara. So he went underwater in a tunnel, and one of the Sephardic rabbis, the Gaon Rav Meir Mazuz, agrees with him. But there's a whole slew of poskim that disagree, and going through a tunnel is not considered Yordei Ayam, because he's not really, you know, Yordei Ayam. I mean, he's not traveling through the sea. You know, it happens to be that the derech that he's going on, the highway, is below sea level, but that's not so. He has a whole bunch of poskim here. He mentions Rav Herschel Schechter and Rav Menashe Klein, and also the Shut Lahoros Nosan and other tshuvas. See a whole list here, and they say that there's no Birchas HaGomel on a travel through an underwater tunnel. Mishan Oseh Berakevet B'Midbariot. What about a person who's on a train and the train travels through deserts? So the Ketzos HaShulchan and the Bali HaShulchan, all contemporary poskim, they say, Ein Tzarch Levarch Ein Zeh. This is not what you call Holchei Midbarios. You know, we said that Holchei Midbarios, according to the Ashkenazim at least, are exposed to all sorts of dangers. That's not true today when you go by train through some sort of desert. When you go on a Yabosha and you're traveling on the land itself, not in a train, that might be considered over Yabosha and Holchei Midbarios. Then he has another sefer here called Kinyan HaTorah, and he writes that if you're traveling from Britain to France, you could take a canal, which is a kind of a Sfinal Ayam, and the question is whether he's Bechlal Yordei Ayam, and he has the Bench Gomel, and he writes Poshut Echad. So now we're in Hilchas Shabbos. I mean, we were studying Reshit Tes, which was Hilchas Brachos, but in Hilchas Shabbos Reish Mem Ches, it says that you're allowed to depart even Erev Shabbos if you're going from Tzidon to Matzar, to Tzitzar, because it's a mahalach of Yom Echad, that's not considered a derech. It's a derech muat. It's a very short. So therefore, he wants to extrapolate by analogy to Birchas HaGomel that the case of Maflik B'yam means, Yordei Yam means Maflik B'yam, he's going to be at sea for a number of days. He doesn't tell you exactly how many days. And then he says, Be'inyan HaNesia B'aviron, he wants to say that if you're traveling over Yam, then there is one opinion that would require Birchas HaGomel. He's considered Yordei Hayam, even though he's traveling in the air over the Yam. And he writes that the Brisker Rav was in Switzerland and Bikartiv, and I visited him. Sha'alti eschaves datum levarich ve'onali bezalosh mestoma hinchem yodim she'ineni posek she'elos rak zos omar lachem shani bosi v'aviron me'eretz Yisrael. I came by plane from Israel to Switzerland. V'lo birachti hagomel. So we have a Maisa Rav for the Brisker Rav that he traveled by plane. Probably it's a 4-hour, 5-hour trip, and he did not recite Birchas HaGomel. That's already back in the time of the Brisker Rav. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe that I indicated before, which you'll see on page 5, he comes to the conclusion that the key is Shchiach. Do you remember we discussed, we don't know why, but the more it's Shchiach, the more it fits into these four categories, and it's Machayev HaGomel. He says, Holchei Drachim is considered Matsui, and therefore it requires HaGomel. He says, Imkein be'aeroplane, Shehu Milsa D'Shchicha, Shal Holchem Tuva, V'gam Matsui Sakonos. He says, Yesh Levarech, we should recite the bracha even according to the Ashkenazim. And that's the final conclusion. In the last paragraph, he says, Ein chiluk, it makes no difference whether he's going by plane over the Yam or he's going over dry land. Yesh levarech birchas hagomel in all instances. Shamati sheyesh shemorim shelo levarech v'eino klum el tzarech levarech. He has here a tshuva from the Chelkas Yaakov about flying by plane. Does he need Birchas HaGomel? He says, L'chor zeh talui b'plukta hamavur b'siman resh yud tes. He wants to say it depends on the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. And for the Ashkenazim, we're not talking about a sakana here. He goes a step further. He says, Efshar the Derech HaAvir, he says, Derech HaAvir is not considered Derech. So he has more of a svara here to say that for Ashkenazim, there will not be Birchas HaGomel in travel by plane. He says, Ef Shalom in the Derech HaAvir, he makom sakana. And he says the following, that just like Midbarios, back in the day, it was considered Makom Sakana. So too, Derech Avir is Makom Sakana. V'af libnei Ashkenaz Chayav Levarech. And then the final conclusion, he tries to make a pshar. He says it depends whether the Aviron travels Derech Hayam over the sea, and we can classify him as Yordei Hayam. And this is a svar that Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe rejects, but it appears here in this tshuva. Alright, there's more to this tshuva than we have time for today, but you'll see this on page 5. On page 6 we have the Tzitz Eliezer, again with his gomel for a plane trip. So we'll stop here, and thank you very much.